Yes, yes. Amen. Good place to be. Awesome place to be. Does anybody remember God's word for this new year, going into this new year? It's what? Give me a key word. Refresh. Okay, refreshed. Okay, refreshed. Brought back to life, revived. Okay. Oh, Jesus, you know that we need that. I have something right here. It's not the word, I don't think. I've learned never to say that. But I, the Lord deposited something in my spirit and came by Mrs. R this morning. She sent it to me, and she was hearing something, and she sent this. But every promotion comes disguised as a problem. See, some of you sitting there thinking about, well, do I need to file my nails? What do I need to get out of my purse, my pocketbook? I'm going to repeat that again. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Every promotion comes disguised as a problem. You don't even have a testimony until you've come through that test. We all want the testimony, but we don't want the test. Anybody along with me today? Okay. Anybody likes tests? Raise your hand. Oh, I didn't think you'd raise your hand. Okay. How many enjoy testimonies? Okay. How many know that you're sitting there, your testimony? Whether you ever say a word in your entirety, you are a testimony. That means you've come through something to get where you are right now. Are you with me? I don't believe this side's with me. How many knows that you've come through things? You've overcome problems. Okay? And as long as you are in this earth, and we are reminded in Scripture that problems will exist. But problems are there to create opportunities for us to catapult into the next dominion. Or the next, you know, the next level in our faith. So, you know, it's level upon level. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. It's from glory to glory, okay? You do that by stepping. And often your step, as difficult as it may seem, is an opportunity for your promotion. You'll never have promotion without tests. Do you understand what I'm talking about? And how many know that you're going somewhere? Turn to somebody and say, I'm going somewhere. And nobody on this side did that. Oh, Jesus, y'all with me today? Come on, turn to somebody and say, I'm going somewhere. You're going somewhere. So, I'm going to say this. David's promotion came looking like a giant. Oh, If I ask you to repeat that, I want you to repeat what I just said. David's promotion come looking like SpongeBob. What? Okay. What was it? Okay. In the middle. I'm messing with you. I know. I'm going somewhere. David's promotion come looking like a giant. Okay. The three Hebrew children's promotion come looking like a fiery furnace. And Daniel's promotion come looking like a den of hungry lions. But it was an opportunity for promotion. You don't get promotion without the test or without the problem. It's problems that get us where we need to go. Amen. All right. Good preaching, right? Yes. Can I hear an amen? Amen? All right. Thank you, Lord, for that. And thank you for your word, Lord, today. And may we not get sidetracked by all that is constantly around us today, Lord. May we be reminded in your word that there is something powerful that you desire to do in our life. I want you to turn to the book of Luke chapter 12 and verse 32. Now, I forgot the Passion Translation. And Lake, and I so appreciate you and Odie and whoever's up there today, Roman, whoever's working, doing all the audio. I can't even see up there. I don't even know who's up there. But I appreciate you all. And I've sent a lot of images. So just listen to the Holy Spirit. I know you will. But in a minute, you'll know significantly, well, you'll know why that I'm going to ask for an important one right there today. So if you're there, say amen. Now, we have a challenge for this new year. To start bringing your Bible. But I got my Bible on my app. And your battery might die. And you don't have your sword. Okay, so you look at it. How many brought their Bible today? This new challenge of the new year. Woo, I'm so proud of you. Yay! All right, okay. That's right. I'm old school. I write in my Bible. Woo! Write in your Bible? Woo! Yes, I do. God gives me little things and I write it in there. So, Luke 12:32. So right off, you're going to get thrown by these first five words, okay? And this is in the Passion Translation. Wow. What seems like an impossibility sometimes. Listen to these first five words. So don't ever be afraid. Do you hear that, Steve? Come on. Tell me how you do that. All right. Come on. Miss Selena, did you hear that? Listen. Tina, did you hear that? What were those first five words? So don't ever be afraid. Did you hear that, Allison? Come on. Did you hear that, Jen? Did you hear that, Pastor Heath? So don't ever be afraid. Oh, wow. Okay. So don't ever be afraid. Is that possible? I know you all said I'm afraid to say. Anything's possible with God, right? But I didn't say because we've talked about fear before. Fear is a natural response. It's an emotion. Okay? And, you know, it's a human emotion. And there's other things there. And we'll talk about layers of that another time. But let's go back to the scripture. I don't want to keep you standing all day, okay? So don't ever be afraid. Everybody say that with me. So don't ever be afraid. Dearest friends. Dear friends. Don't ever be afraid. So don't ever be afraid, dearest friends. Your loving Father. How many knows we have a loving Father? Okay, man. How he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Okay? Your loving Father joyously gives you. He doesn't do it grudgingly. Do I have to give this to them? Do I have to give this to them? Come on, angels. Don't you see how they mess up all the time? Look at them. They're just a bunch of misfits. They're just brokenness. They're just messed up. They're just unfaithful. They're undeserving. Angels, do I have to give this to them? God doesn't say that. Listen to what he said. your loving Father joyously gives you his kingdom. Oh, wow, right there. Jesus, I hope everybody wakes up right there. He joyously gives everybody his kingdom. Listen to this. And all, everybody shout all. It's promises. Amen. How many receives that word today? Come on, God just threw the word at you. How many receives it? God joyously gives that to you. You may be seated. Oh, wow. What a powerful, powerful word. Oh, wow. I just assumed Pastor Heath ministered this morning, and I was just so into, everybody saw me over there, and I guess it seems like, well, Pastor R tells us not to be sidetracked with multimedia, and he's over there on his phone, okay? But I was looking at a scripture, and I was trying to find a scripture. I was looking for a scripture. How many's ever tried to find a scripture? You knew the scripture, but you was having difficulty finding it. And sometimes you disguise that as well. The enemy just don't want me to find that scripture, right? But God's word, he hath hid in our heart. And so I knew what the scripture was, but I wanted to, and I'll share that with you just in a minute. But it's so powerful. What a word. Well, let me just share it with you right now, okay? Oh, I know how I am, and you all know how I am, okay? So, but Revelation 1 and 6, and I'm going to do this. Boy, I'm going to go to the King James, all right? The King James translation. I was raised on that. It's a good translation, but all right, the language throws people. Okay, Revelation 1, 6, he said, "And he hath made us kings and priests." That's whom the Lord has made us, kings and priests. I am sitting among royalty today. Do you hear what I said? See, people don't get that. If you got that, every person in this room that really got it, you jumped up and shouted your lungs out right there. If you understood what the writer in Revelation was saying, I have made you a kingdom of kings and priests. Kings and priests. All right, listen to this. He has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Dominion is what needed to be restored. And in Christ is righteousness and his gift to us through his finished work on the cross. God, Jesus, through his power and his demonstration, handed over to us a kingdom to have dominion over. Amen. You are a kingdom of kings and priests. I am sitting among royalty today. Amen. You are part of a kingdom. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You're a part of a kingdom. A kingdom that cannot be shaken. A kingdom that cannot vanish away. A kingdom that cannot be destroyed. A kingdom, hallelujah, a kingdom where you have dominion in this kingdom. You're kings and priests. You have dominion. You have authority. Kings rule kingdoms with authority. And Jesus says, I have given you the keys to this kingdom. Think about that. Guess what? You can go in and out of this kingdom. You can rule in this kingdom. I have put you here to have dominion. You see, we lost that because of sin. We lost that kingdom because of sin in the beginning, the first Adam. But in the second Adam, we gained that kingdom back. And so today, every blessing that we have, every promise that's been ensured to us, has been given to us through the power and demonstration of God's Son's love toward us. We didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. We didn't merit it. It was because God so loved this world. You are a part of this world that He loves. And because of that, He has given you this authority and this kingdom and made you a kingdom of kings and priests to rule and reign and minister before the Lord. That's what a priest does. His job is to minister to the Lord. You know, we have the word minister all mixed up. We think a minister only does this. What I really do is serve. No, a minister grabs a mic and he ministers. No, that's not what the word ministry means. Ministry means to serve. God placed you on this earth with an opportunity to serve. Hallelujah. You get to serve. You don't have to serve. You get to serve. Hallelujah. I get to bless somebody. I get to love somebody. I get to help somebody. I don't have to. I don't get up and say, I have to do this. I get up and say, God, I get to do this because I'm a kingdom of priests and kings unto my God. I get to worship today. I don't dread Sunday. I look forward to it. Hallelujah. My rooster don't have to remind me it's Sunday morning. My inner spiritual clock reminds me it's time to get my praise on. Because I'm a kingdom of priests and kings. I've been called to have authority and dominion, and I've been called to minister that authority in Jesus' name. Now, I could stop right there, but I won't. But I want you to say this because I'm not going to be here long. I know you said, Pastor R, you've said that how many times? Okay. What I was waiting for somebody to say is, Pastor R, you just take your time. I love every word that God gives. But I didn't hear it, so I'm going to do it anyway, okay? Just messing with you. So this morning, in this new year going forward, I pray a fresh, and I believe the Holy Spirit wants this, a time of refreshing our passion to chase and pursue God with reckless abandonment. To chase after God. To go after Him. To go after Him. Tommy Tenney in the 1990s, he wrote a book called God Chasers. It's an old book, but it's a powerful book. And it really launched people into another level of hunger and their pursuit of God. Because today, in this new year, the things that you're looking for, the things that you're chasing after, the things that you think you need come within this perimeter to chase God with all your heart, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And when you do that, guess what comes in the door with it? Peace, joy, happiness, victory. Drop the mic, okay? All right. Anybody hear me? So he wrote this book, God Chasers. I recommend that you find that old book. You can Google, you can get it up probably on Amazon, and you go after that. That, if you don't have spiritual appetite right now, before you finish that book, you will. Because it was a highlight in my life, a time when I dropped religion and I went after God. You know what some people's problems are? They're hanging on to the religion and still trying to chase God. Because, let me, your religion will get in the way of your God. Your religion will get in the way of you pursuing God. When you go after God, you've got to leave everything else behind and purely go after his heart. The Lord says in two places, in Samuel and in Hebrews, that God saw, and we're doing this in Man Up, by the way, the people who, the guys who need to get to Man Up, we've been looking at the life of David. And the Lord says, I sought for me a man who would be after my heart. What I'm praying this year and believing for is a powerful movement. Not a goosebump thing. Not something to get you high for a day and get you back down the dumps the next day. But I'm talking about a high that you can walk in when you're pursuing your God and going after God and going after his heart. God, what do you want out of my life? Amen. Are you with me? So I pray for a refreshing of our passion to chase and pursue God and his purpose for our lives. But those, the passion and the purpose and the destiny, all those things come after the pursuit of God. You can't have those things without God. Okay? Seek first. Matthew 6:33. You knew this from Sunday school, right? 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of those other things will be added to you. God says, I'll give you the secrets of the kingdom. I'll give you the blessings of the kingdom if you will go after me beyond and beyond anything else in your life. It's going to require this year, develop a heart that will chase after God. Oh, wow. We're all chasing something this morning. Something? Yes, yes, we are, whether you realize it or not. Yes. Some of us are about, God, I'm just waiting on you. You know, well, you're going to be waiting a long time. What really God's saying is, I'm waiting on you. Come on, get up and chase me. Did you ever play this game in school, Trish? It's good to see you here today. Did you ever play this game in school? Kids walk up to you and say, you're it. Okay, what do you have to do? You have to chase them. You have to chase them. Sometimes people wanted you to catch them. Yeah, they wanted to be tagged. You know, God wants you to chase him. Did you hear that, Val? You're it. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, I'm sorry, yes. She's got a bum foot. Obedient, I believe him for healing in that foot. Come on! Are you hearing me? You're it. You're it. God came to you one day, touched you, and said, you're it. Did you sit down and say, what did you do? When God touched you first, what did you do? You couldn't get enough of the word. You couldn't get enough praise. You couldn't get enough devotion. You couldn't get enough dedication. What do I got to do to be about this? When he touched God back in 09, 010, something like that. And God really done a work similar with He that He did in my life. And he just went after God. Jenny the same way. He told me one time, said, Dad, and we were doing a lot of powerful things like we are today. He came up to me and said, Dad, we don't have church enough. Said, can't we create some more opportunities to just have church to worship? Listen, when you're in search mode, when you're in looking mode, you can't find enough. You can't find enough. God, 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 God. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Gifts, gifts, gifts. Don't be amazed, Nathan, by the fact that he's saying every week, Pastor R got me a new translation of the Bible. Well, he's not in the business of collecting Bibles, but he is struck on the content of what he's chasing after. Something inside that book is getting down in here. When it goes from here to here, then watch out, Katie, bar the door, because God is going to wreck your life. Do you hear what I'm saying? Oh, Jesus. But how many will agree that we're all chasing somebody or something? Are you with me? This is important. Don't drop a word. Everybody chases something. We're pursuing, and what we decide to pursue and put our time, our energy, our heart, and getting closer to Him, when that becomes our primary purpose, is to go after God. And I will say to you this, don't chase your talents and your gifts. Don't chase your giftedness. That's chasing the gift instead of the giver. Let me tell you where the gift is going to benefit you. When you dedicate yourself to chase the giver who gave the gift to you. It's a different realm. It's a different realm. And that's what rocked my world and turned my world upside down and started in January of 1991, a determined pursuit, a reckless abandonment, and a tiring of chasing empty dreams and emptiness. It's like a dog chasing his tail all day long, not realizing that's part of him, you know. You ever seen a dog do that? How many's ever seen a dog do that? Okay. But we're all chasing things. We've all chased things in our life. Whether it's a job, whether it's attention. Oh, not me. I've sought attention before. Come on, anybody real with me here today? Because there is this natural likeness in us, and it depends on how you were raised and how you were brought up. This inadequacy in your life, this non-fulfillment in your life. And somebody says, if I seek the right person, or if I go looking for attention or comfort, I'll find that. No, when you find the God of comfort, when you seek the God of love, He'll bestow those things upon your life. And then you'll find, like we said Wednesday night, you'll find that the blessings of God are overtaking you. They're pursuing you. And then God's, like, His love is continually pursuing us. See, God doesn't get too far out ahead of us. He wants us to catch Him. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me, Dale? He wants you to keep Him in front of Him. He wants you to go after Him. But listen, He's not going to put Himself so far out that you don't think that you can do it. Listen, you got to understand, God wants you to catch him. Turn to somebody and say, God wants me to catch him. Want me to catch him. Yes. So today, we put our time, we put our energy into this chase, poured hours into figuring out how to get a little closer to the goal in life. Whatever that goal we think is, whether it's success, whether it's wealth, or whether it's peace of mind or whatever we have in our heads that will provide for us the feeling of some sort of contentment. And in that contentment, we have some sense of security and relief because we found, or we think we found, what we were looking for. And Solomon died at the end of his day having chased many things in his life. Are you hearing me? Chased many things in his life. Chased women. Chased power. Chased notoriety. Chased money. Chased everything. Chased kingdoms of the earth. Everything was at his disposal. And on his last dying bed, his last dying breath, he said this: "It's all empty." The devil doesn't tell you that now. He's telling you that what you're chasing is a fulfillment of what your security and your mind is about. But what God is saying, all of those things are empty. Listen, when you come down to the end of your life, let me tell you, when the last breath is leaving, all you're going to have is you and Jesus. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's you and Jesus. Solomon and all that he chased found out that I've been chasing dead-end streets. I've been chasing empty dreams. It's not in that. But we put a lot of our time, our energy, our heart in trying to chase these things. But when God is the center of our life, you got to get a hold of this. Not, I hear people tell me all the time, well, God is a part of my life. Well, listen, if God's a part of your life, God's saying, he don't want to be a part of your life. He is your life. He is your life. He is your life. He's your breath. He's your hope. He's everything in your life. God is it all. Amen. Job said that. God gives to me, he takes away. Praise the Lord anyway. It all belongs to God. Everything in your life belongs to God. Your job, your career, your family, your children, your wealth, your riches, your whatever you don't. It all belongs to God. And God loves us enough that he doesn't want us not to have the things that bless our life. But he doesn't want your life to be a life consumed with chasing after things that in the end will be empty. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I hope so. I know I need this, whether you need it or not. When we're uninterested in God, you mean somebody can be uninterested in God? Now, how could that be? How many know that you can be uninterested in God? Oh, yes. Or convinced that self-worth or how I feel inwardly is attained through our personal accomplishments like Solomon, or the affirmation from other people. You're doing good. You're doing good. And those things are good to hear. When people affirm us, or they connect with us on that level and they affirm to us and they say, that's a good word, or that helped me, or, you know, you're doing a good job, or doing these kinds of things. Affirmations are good if we keep them in the right place in our life. But we can be guilty of just chasing affirmations. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We're living in a culture that chases affirmations. If you don't look it, look at Facebook. Look at social media. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. And you know what God is saying? Don't get mad at me. God's saying, look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Are you getting this? Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. God's been doing that, Zella, for centuries. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Things change when you start doing exactly what God said. Look at me. Chase me. Run after me. Oh, Jesus. I can see a lot of rotten tomatoes in here. It's just simply meaning you're about ready to throw one at me, okay? Because I know how well we love social media. Yeah. And you are. But you know what? God was the first one that told you you were. Oh, you missed that one. That went somewhere else. Did you hear that, RL? God was the first one that told you that you were pretty. He said, you are fearfully and wonderfully made by God. You're beautiful in my sight. Why do we need a mushy girl or a mushy boy to tell us that we're beautiful? I know we need those affirmations, right? We do. Come on, be real. You like to be told. We all like to be told we're special. But God's the first one told you you're special. God reminds me of this all the time. He reminds me. So if, when that happens, when our life becomes chasing personal accomplishments and affirmation from other people, this is when we're likely and we're inviting an outcome that will view ourselves in one of these ways. Just look at it. I'm not going to talk about it briefly because I'm going somewhere else to end up. We constantly struggle with feelings of unworthiness. Oh, but I know I'm not talking to anybody else here, Lord. Lord, you sure this is the right word you downloaded today? I know nobody in here feels unworthy at times. Why y'all acting like you do? Not. Right? You got it all together. Right? You never feel unworthy. You never feel unworthy. When God asks you to do something, the most responsive answer that I get is, I can't do that, Pastor R. I'm not even worthy to do that. John the Baptist said that. He said, I'm not even worthy to stoop down and untie this man and tie his shoelaces. I'm not even worthy to do that. And you know what Jesus said of John? John didn't say this of himself. Jesus said that. Never was there a greater man than John the Baptist. You know what? Because John's pursuit was in fulfilling God's kingdom purpose in his life. He went after God. He went after God. Wow. And by doing that, he got his affirmation. He got his encouragement. But it wasn't all that way. We have feelings of unworthiness. Our identity gets muddled as we believe our shortcomings mean we're never enough for anyone. I know there's probably not many people here that struggle with that, right? Right, amen. Or feelings of inadequacy. I'm not enough. A lack, a feeling of lackness in our life. A lackness, a sense of purpose, that we are tripped up by our own failures and unsure what we're good at. I'm not good at anything. I'm not good at anything. I can never do that. I can never measure up. I'm inadequate. I don't measure up to that stuff. You know, you're talking about shiny people. No, God's talking about a kingdom of kings and priests unto him, unto God. A kingdom that he chose out of the brokenness of life, out of the slum holes of life, out of the prisons of life, out of the dark shadows of life. God went picking for his elite from those places. Now, if you were picking, you go picking the well-refined places. I go to the greatest seminaries. I go to the greatest theological schools. I go to the place where there's money. I go to the shiniest big mega. Nothing wrong with those things. I go to all those people that, listen, social media portrays as men and women of God who've got their life all together. What they're not telling you, maybe, and some of them maybe are, is I don't have my life together. He's the one that keeps my life together. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So we do struggle with feelings of inadequacy. And we struggle with feelings of insignificance or a lack, and our lack of intimacy with God. I like what Jenny says. Maybe he says this sometimes, I'm not sure. But like, you all have talked to them before. Well, you know, I've got this going on in my life. One of Jenny's first questions is, mark it down, are you in the Word? Are you having God time? Are you having God time? Which is a good question. Are you close to God? Because if you're not close to God, you're going to feel these thoughts and feelings more prevalent than any other time in your life. It's because you're not close here. You're not chasing, going after him. So it's because of a lack of intimacy with God. Lots of times in marriages, a man or woman feels insignificant in the couple. It's because something is lacking sometimes in their marriage. It's called intimacy. And intimacy is closeness. And when you don't have those things of closeness, then it's easier for the enemy to step in and tell you what you're not. Oh, I know it. You need that mic, Heath.
Jenny asked me sometimes when I'm going through a funk, she'll say, are you as desperate for God as you once were? And usually that causes me to check, and usually I probably might say yes, but usually the answer is no. And the deal is, when we're needing God for something in our life, when you all through stuff where you went after God because you needed a miracle in your life, you were desperate. That desperation fueled your pursuit. The problem is, if we take away desperation, do we stop pursuing? And if we stop pursuing, we get caught up. And so the key to the whole thing is, if you really want to get next level, and if I want to get next level, and if we all want to get next level, is having the desperation to pursue God just as hard when you're not going through junk.
Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, give God some praise here today. So I'm going to close on this character in God's Word. It's a powerful character, but he is probably least ministered about and taught and preached about because the negative feedback and rap that he's got down over the decades and through the years and centuries. But it's actually a good man. So I'm going to talk to you about a man by the name of Saul. Not who would later become Paul, but a man by the name of Saul, who was the son of Kish, who was a Benjamite, who was out of the tribe of Benjamin. And he said, the least of all the tribes. In other words, God called him. How many of you say God's got a calling on your life? Listen, a calling don't mean that you're going to end up with a microphone. A calling means that God's hand is upon you and he wants you to spread the gospel, the good news to the world. Change the world. And it may be entail some of that. But your stage and arena will be every day. Let me tell you a place I preach at regularly. It's called the Hillbilly Fried Chicken. You wouldn't believe the powerful things that's been done while they're frying chicken in there. Did you hear that? Wow, what great revelation and great things can be seen and felt and noted in such a place. And God can create a place of worship wherever you gather in his name. Did you know that? Are you still with me? I'm not long. Are you with me? Okay. More people on this side. I believe I've lost some of you on this side. Okay. All right, listen what the Lord says here. So in 1 Samuel, there's actually two chapters here. I'm not going to go through all these, but there's just a couple of scriptures here we're going to look at. Remember in Ecclesiastes, I told you a while ago about Solomon and his pursuit of things, his chasing after things. Listen to what he says here in Ecclesiastes 1:14. He says, I've seen all the things that are done under the sun. I've seen them all. I've seen them all. That's a pretty bold statement when you can say, I've done it all. I've seen it all. I know I've had people tell me that, I've seen it all, but they haven't seen it all. How many of you haven't seen it all? You have done it all. But Solomon, as close to any man upon the planet that ever lived, said with a surety, I have seen it all. I've seen all things that are done under the sun. And all of them are meaningless. And this is what he said. It's like chasing after a wind. Could you ever catch wind if you were chasing it? Jesus told Nicodemus, it comes and goes, and you don't even know when it's coming. You can just see the effects of it, but you can't grab a hold of the wind. I mean, they can harness things, but you can't really grab a hold of the wind. But it's like chasing the wind and always coming up empty. So, but the reason I'm sharing that is because of this. Because God called a man by the name of Saul. And I want you to look with me and look at his character. 1 Samuel chapter 9. You don't have to stand for this, okay? But listen to this man. There was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeron, and the son of Benachor, the son of Athath, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power, a mighty man of power. And he had a choice and handsome son whose name was Saul. He was a handsome guy, good looker. He was good looking. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He was good looking. He was to be desired. There was not a more handsome. This is what the word said. There was not a more handsome. He was the most handsome man in the kingdom of Israel. He was handsome. I didn't see a girl lift her eyes or anything in here. You know not to, right? There was not a more handsome person than he among all the children of Israel. From his shoulder upward, he was taller. This man was taller than his peers. When you saw Samuel come into the room, it was evident it was Saul. When you saw Saul walk into the room, it was evident that this handsome, tall man walked into the room. He was a head taller than everybody else, and everybody knew that it was Saul. And he was to be noticed. He was to be noticed just because of his physical structure, his looks, his size. He was noticed. Now, listen to this, okay? Now, the donkeys of Kish, I'm going to talk about. Could you put that up there? And I want you to hang on with me just a minute. Pastor, I'm going to end this today by talking about donkeys. There's all kinds of donkeys in the scripture. I love donkeys. That's our first donkey. Listen, I gave an assignment to Steve and Charlotte, and they probably under their breath are saying, you know why? Because for the last several years, I gave them an assignment of chasing these donkeys. And it hasn't been easy. How many knows it's not easy to chase something that won't let you catch it? You missed that one, didn't you? Spend your life chasing something that you can't catch. It eludes you. It runs from you. You can't catch it. There she is again. There she is again. But, oh, I love donkeys. God loves them too. Okay? He doesn't love their stubborn nature, but he loves them, okay? He loves them. Sometimes it's okay to be stubborn. But anyway, donkeys are throughout the Word of God. But here Saul came under his father's request and said, "Son, the donkeys are lost. They got out of the pen." Now, Stephen Charlotte lost the goat a few years ago. It liked to mess them up because it was their favorite goat. And they went searching high, searching low for that goat. But I'm going to tell you what. Listen, they'd get Vice Squad out if those donkeys got out. Steve would be all over Wise County looking for donkeys. If you lost your donkeys, you're going to Henry be looking for your donkeys. Let me tell you why it's important. Because they were a status symbol. There was a symbol of wealth and prosperity. They were a means of public transportation. They were a coal truck or a cargo vehicle carrying your goods. They were important. They were important in the status of society back then. If you had donkeys, you were probably noted as someone having somewhat of wealth. They were important. And then suddenly you lost what was important to you. What we've got in this religious culture that we live in is that we've lost things that should be important in our life. But the deal is, people are not looking for what they've lost. Or this house would be plumb chuck full today. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But I'm chasing something. Pastor, I'm chasing something. This morning I'm chasing something. But are you chasing God? Are you running after God? Are you going after him? Like David said, a man who is after God's heart. Have we lost the passion to chase after him? During all these things that's happening, I'm not even going to speak that devilish word over this congregation, but through all that stuff that's been going on and through all the social disturbances and all the things, could it be that the Western church, or the church that's on this side of the planet, this hemisphere, could it be that we've lost something? We've lost something. We've lost something. We've lost passion. We've lost fire. We've lost zeal. We've lost desire to chase God. And it's easy for us to become then confused to the point that we begin to chase other things in his place. Oh, Jesus. We're all chasing something today. Are you with me? Are you sure? We're almost done. So, his assignment was to go find the donkeys. He's chasing donkeys. Now, this is a two-way thing here. We should be looking for things that we lost that are significant to us, important. But those things should be the things primarily that's important to God. If you go after God, you get the other. If you go after the other first, you miss God. How many knows that you can't afford to miss God? Are you hearing what I'm saying? But people today are missing God. They're missing him. He's missing. He's missing. He's nowhere to be found. Can you imagine losing Jesus? Well, I'm going to tell you a story on Mary and Joseph, who are awesome parents to the young 12-year-old child. But they got into this feast, this Passover feast, this celebration in Jerusalem, and they got all carried away, chasing after different things in that feast. And you know what happened? You've read the scripture. They lost him. They couldn't find him. Willie, this is the truth. They spent 2 days looking for Jesus. I can tell you people who have spent more than 2 days looking for something that looked like Jesus. There's only one Jesus. There's only one God. There's only one mediator between God and man, and that's Christ Jesus. Are you hearing me? What I'm saying. You say, Pastor R, why do you get so upset, mad when you preach? I'm not mad. I'm passionate. If I was at a ball game, you'd be standing up there with me. Woo! But in church, oh, calm it down, Pastor. I only got one gear. I'm sorry. I can't apologize for it. But we can miss the plans of God because we're too busy chasing trivial things also. You know what? Saul didn't realize on that day he was getting ready to be anointed as a king. God was getting ready to use the prophet Samuel to anoint him. And so they went looking for their donkeys. They went looking everywhere for their donkeys. They ran into people in the streets and they said, well, you know, go to the gate. There's a prophet there. They call him a seer in the Word of God, which is a prophet, word for prophet. And said, he can tell you where your lost donkeys are. So they went looking everywhere. And they finally ended up at the gate, the city gate. And lo and behold, if Samuel wasn't there. And so Samuel's job, and as soon as he saw Saul coming, remember, head above everybody else, God gave him his MO. He knew exactly who he was looking for. And the Spirit quickened Samuel too. And as soon as he saw Saul coming up to the gate, the Lord said to Samuel, that's him. There's your king. Your king, your king's coming to the gate. God looks at you and he doesn't see you as struggling, weak Benjamites. He doesn't look at you as has-beens and broken misfits. He looks at you as a kingdom of kings and priests to rule for your God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The truth is, you don't know what you have. Wow. Okay, Lord Jesus, I got to get through here. Reminded of this story. I've told some of you personally this story. The little widow woman, that she loved yard sales. That's not throwing it about. Anybody that loves yard sales. I like yard sales. I like flea markets too, okay? But anyway, she didn't have a lot of money. She didn't make a lot of money. And she made it from month to month, but she loved to go to yard sales. And she found this awesome picture. And I don't know what the picture looked like, but she put the picture on her wall. And the rest of her remaining days, she walked by every day looking at that picture. Isn't that a lovely picture? People walk into her house. Ooh, that's an interesting picture, whatever her name was. And then that was all wonderful. But then she got older, and she got sickly, and she ended up dying. So her family was coming, processing and going through her stuff. And one of her loved ones pulled that picture off the wall and said, "That's an interesting picture." And on the back of that picture, they noticed there was something strange or different. It looked odd, the back of that picture did. And so they unveiled the back of that picture, took off the back, and they found one of the five original copies of the Declaration of Independence. This woman walked every day by millions of dollars, and she didn't know what she had. You are walking every day in hand reach of powerful things in the kingdom, and you're spending your time chasing wild donkeys. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When you have the wealth of the kingdom at your hand, you're chasing donkeys all day. The donkeys can't replace the kingdom wealth that God has deposited in your spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? Wow, we. Lord, I thank you for the ones that got a hold of that day, today. But I'm serious today. And so the seer or the prophet told him where he was. And on that mission, his assignment to send someone. And they said, Saul, he said this in the scripture. I want you to listen to this, okay? There's a word right here. In 1 Samuel 9 and 20, he said, "Don't be anxious about them." Okay, here's the word. Anxious is tied to the word anxiety. It's tied to the word fear. It's tied to the word worry. And Lord, are you sure this is the right word for me? Because I know none of these people ever. They don't worry. They're not anxious. They're not any of those things. Because I know none of these people here struggle with anxiety. They struggle with worry. They struggle with anxiousness. Am I the only one, Lord, in here that struggle with those things in my life? And then he said, don't be anxious about it. God's going to take care of it. What that is dread. How many knows what the word dread is? Can you find that word and put it up there if you can? I want you to look at the word dread. We're living in a culture who lives every day in a dread. I dread going to work. I dread getting on the road. I dread going to the store. I dread doing this. I dread doing that. And a dread is a prison where the enemy takes captive through the means of worry, anxiety, and fear. So you're walking around chasing your fears and your anxiety. And God says, quit chasing donkeys and give your life totally to me and go after me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Lord Jesus. If I wasn't framed to being too old-fashioned, I'd run across these pews right now. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't be anxious. Saul, don't worry about it. You'll find your donkeys. He'll help you find your donkeys. He told him, Samuel told Saul, but the enemy wants to keep you occupied with things that constantly pull you away from your passion of pursuing God. Donkey chasing. Maybe chasing a mistake, chasing a temptation, chasing a failure. If this is something that comes across your mind every day, you're chasing it. Yes, but God wants us to be a chaser of the great things, and that's God, that's Himself. Chase God. So we end up chasing things. Maybe it's a temptation. Maybe it's a job. I don't know. There are always donkeys. There are always donkeys in our life that will pull you away from God's will. There are always things that you can chase that will pull you away from. I told somebody this week. I've had people, and I know I've been talking personally to people about this, and they realized this, and they got revelation about it. But this person, I've had people over the years tell me, Pastor, I prayed for a job, and I got this job. Woo! Man, this is an awesome job. It pays. It's just an awesome job. And they got the job, and then, well, my schedule's in the way. We've been missing you at church and worship and felt, well, I can't, my job. I got my job. And well, they started doing their job. And then Wednesday night, Pastor, I can't be there because I've got this job. We've got mission work. We got stuff to do outside the walls. We got to do that. But I can't because, but how many know? Listen, job is important. Job is important. God knows your job is important. And I'm not being some crazy radical preacher that tells you that your job's important. But I'm saying that nothing is as important as you chasing God. Oh, so what? Oh, wow. So the servant helped him find his donkeys. And then finally got the donkeys back to his father. All was good. And they anointed Saul as king. And I'm closing on this. When they come to find Saul on the day he was crowned and coronated, they couldn't find him. Saul was lost again. Wow. Everybody say, Saul, get it together. What we should do is say that to ourselves. Jeff, get it together. I'll call myself out, okay? I know some of you have problems with that. I'll call my, Jeff, get it together. Pastor R, get it together. I wouldn't dare say it to you because you'd get mad at me. I love you. Ooh, I love you. But in the most important time in your life, can God find you? Where are you? Adam, where art thou? In the King James, where are you, Adam? He'd come every day walking with Adam in the cool of the day. Then suddenly Adam messed up. He messed up, blamed it on his wife. And then he messed up. And then he went and found him a skirt made out of fig leaves. And he was hiding behind that. And when God came looking for him, when God started chasing him one day, he said, Adam, I can't find you. Where are you? God's looking for you. Can he find you? Are you available? Are you available? Are you accounted for? Are you here? Are you here? We can be here, but not be here. Let me say it again. We can be here, but not here. This is the here that counts. I've had people say, Pastor R, I'll be with you in spirit. Ooh, wow. That's troublesome. Because then we got a place filled with spirits. And the only spirit we won't hear is the Holy Spirit. How many knows that? We don't want any spirits impersonating people. We want the Holy Spirit of God. But I know what they're saying. I know what you're saying. And some of you, I could tell you didn't take that right. But I know what you're saying. I don't know. Maybe I've said, I don't think I've ever said that. I don't think I've ever said that. I have said I can't be present, but you're in my prayers or something like that. But how you not be somewhere and be there in spirit? So today, God is looking for, he's chasing after, he's looking for people who will say, here I am, Lord, send me. In this coming year, let's be passionate, more passionate than we ever been. This is not beating people down. This is encouraging us. This is challenging us in this year of refreshing to passionately pursue our God, to go after God with reckless abandonment. Put your agenda behind. Listen, get your donkeys out of the way and go after God. Listen, Steve, yeah, you keep chasing those donkeys, okay? But listen, we need to let go of our worldly donkeys. We need to let go of them and go after God with all your heart. Listen, your addiction may be your donkey. Your fear may be your donkey. Your worry may be your donkey. Your inadequacy may be your donkey. It's time to quit chasing donkeys and go after God. And when they came to lay hands upon Saul, he wasn't present. The Bible said he was hiding behind his stuff. In other words, he's hiding behind his donkeys. Again, they couldn't find him because he was lost in the baggage. He didn't want to be found. Now, before we kick him off the boat, let's remember that Saul was a head and shoulder above everybody else, and he was a handsome guy, but he had this powerful, insecure feeling that he wasn't good enough, or he never measured up. Even though he measured up this way, he didn't measure up this way. And so he disqualified himself, and he was timid. He was concerned about doing the job. He probably was saying, God, Samuel, I don't really want this. I can't see myself doing this. And I've done that before. Is there something God has called you to, but somehow or another you still can't put your hand on it because you've got this feeling, well, I'm not good enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not talented enough. I'm not skilled enough. And God keeps pointing at you. And you keep telling him all that stuff. And he keeps pointing at you. And you keep telling him more. And he keeps pointing at you. You know what he's doing today? He's doing that to you all. There's nobody can replace you. Or let me say again. There is no one that can replace you. I'm finished. There is no one that can replace you. There's only one you. Nobody can replace you. Nobody can replace you. When you stand before God, it will be you that stands before God. You can't push somebody in your place. Okay, you can't use your husband. You can't use your wife. You can't use your children. You can't use your job. You can't use this or that. There's only one person, and that will be you. Me, that will stand before the Lord. And today, as we're closing, don't spend your time chasing these donkeys. I don't want to miss the opportunities that God has placed before me while I'm just chasing things that maybe aren't as important. I'm not saying they're not important in your life. I'm not saying your feelings are not important. I'm not saying these things are not important enough. But what I'm saying is, don't spend your time chasing those things. Go after God. Go after God. Chase him. Be a God chaser. Be a God chaser. Be a God chaser. I used to chase basketball. I used to sleep with a basketball. Every day I was looking for a game in basketball. I was traveling all over the place looking for a game. I just wanted to play ball. I wanted to play against somebody. And when I started chasing God, that stuff didn't seem as important to me anymore. And the friends that were connected that, even though I loved them, they didn't seem to be as significant because they were tied to the things I was chasing. I'm saying today, start chasing God. Turn to somebody and say, I'm going to chase God. One thing. Can we bow our head? God, the first one I have to speak to today is myself. You were the first one that you spoke to today was me in this room. I was the first one. Because you know my heart, and you know that there are times that I haven't gone after you with my heart. And I've chased other things, Lord. I've chased other things. I've chased feelings, and I've chased after things. And you know all of those things, Lord. But truly, Lord, in this year, Lord, revive a fresh, renewed passion in us to go after you. To go after you with everything within us. Go after you. Lord, that put you even before religion, Lord, before empty religious things, Lord. Let me be a pursuer of you and the purpose that you've got for my life. And help me, Lord. Help me. Help me, Lord. This morning, stir within my heart a deep, renewed passion to chase you with all of my heart. Chase you with all my heart. How many need and know? And I'm not asking you, I'm not trying to put something on you, but how many in this room, how many in this room want in this year become a God chaser? It's okay to raise your hand. If you want to chase God, you know, then acknowledge to God. God already knows your heart. I know that. And I know some people have a problem with that. But what I'm saying is sometimes your faith is released through your action. Your faith is released through your action. Lord, I want to be a chaser of God. I want to go after you, Lord. Not after just what I want, but what you want for my life. I want to go after you, Lord. And if that's you, just lift your hand with mine right now. I don't know who raised their hand. And just keep it there for a second, right there. And be a chaser of God. Go after God. Go after God. Go after God. Go be so in love with God. Go after him, Lord, that everything else is pale in comparison. Lord, I want to be a chaser of God, not a chaser of men. I don't want to chase my dreams. I want to chase your dreams. I want to pursue you. And Lord, you saw every hand that was raised. Now, Lord, I pray you minister through the power of the Holy Spirit to every heart and reignite, refuel a flame, a passion in people's hearts today to truly go after you with everything in their heart. And let it begin today. Let it begin every day as a pursuit, Lord, to go after you. And then, Lord, you'll add to my life. You'll add my life. You'll bless my life. You'll add to me. You won't take away. You'll add to my life. You'll give me things that I need, Lord. You'll supply, Lord, all those things. Let's just let me first go after you more than anything else right now. Let's all stand to our feet.